today we want to talk about sermon planning, and that's exactly where we're going to begin. I would encourage you to bow your head with me as we ask the Lord to bless what we are doing at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here with us, blessing us, and we ask that you would help us to learn something that will enable us to be better proclaimers of your gospel to your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. I definitely want to let you know, as you can probably tell, I've got some issues with my speech. I'm a little under the weather at the present time, so please bear with me as I attempt to get through this important material. And I think that it's important, especially in light of the fact that we often do not talk about sermon planning. We talk about other aspects of the preaching task, but we hardly ever speak of sermon planning. When you look out there and try to find books on the subject, there are very few books on even this particular subject. And so hopefully this is going to be a blessing to you and help you in your preaching endeavors. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to have a quick look at the theoretical overview of the planning process. Then we're going to do a quick quick example. And if there's any time left, then we will go into questions that we have received from you. And we don't have a ton of time, so I want to get in this quickly. First of all, when we're talking about sermon planning, we're talking about number of steps to construct a plan for engaging the congregation, or a plan for addressing the congregation. Oftentimes in our preaching, we don't take a step back and think about what are the themes that should be addressed to this congregation? What are the things that should be told to this particular congregation? Sermon planning allows us to get involved in that particular type of thing. And to do that, I've broken up that task of sermon planning into five steps. Number one, step one is intense prayer. We're going to talk about that. That's the first step before you can do any type of sermon planning. Really, it's the first step before you do anything to deal with the Bible, to deal with addressing God's people. Intense prayer. Number two, look at the preacher. This is an important point as well, because oftentimes we are told to ignore the preacher. When you ignore the preacher, who you are as a preacher, sometimes things will get into the sermon that don't necessarily get there, need to be there, because you haven't critically looked, examined yourself. What are your needs and what are your issues that you're dealing with? We're going to talk about that quickly later on. Number three, step three is to look at the church presently. Look at the church presently. Where is the church right now? Finally, look at the church's future. What is the vision of the church in the future that God has given you? That is the next point. And then finally, step five is to construct a sermon plan that will allow you to take the church from where it is to where it is, where God has given you the vision that it should go. So that's the agenda that we're going to talk about today. I would encourage you to go to the website that you are, if you're listening to this, you're on the website. To the right, there should be a button that tells you to download the PowerPoint slides. I'd encourage you to download the PowerPoint slides in PDF format. Excuse me. But let's move on. In this particular presentation, I'm going to make some assumptions. Number one, I'm going to assume that you have a connection to the congregation that you are preaching to. Definitely is going to only be a not a very deep connection if you're, say, a guest or an itinerant preacher. But I'm going to assume in most cases you are either a senior pastor or an associate pastor or an associate minister, whatever terminology you use, in your particular congregation. I'm going to assume that you preach often to this group. When you're doing sermon planning, what we will find is that we are looking at addressing the congregation many times, not just once. You're looking for many times. And so while it will be helpful to you if you're only going to address the congregation once or a few times, it'll be most helpful if you're going to address the congregation many times. Now let's move into the steps because we've got a lot to do, and I'm going to do it very quickly. Step one, intense prayer. We need God to enlighten our minds, to help us if we are going to do this job of preaching the way we need to do it. And not only that, to do sermon planning, to determine what is it that this congregation needs. How in the world are you going to do that particular type of analysis without supernatural help, without God helping you? So the job really is beyond us as individuals. It's something that we cannot do on our own. We need supernatural help. Intense prayer is going to open up in us humility, for we realize that we cannot do this. We realize we need something more than ourselves. We realize that even the congregation itself has something to tell us about what it is that we should preach to this congregation. So we should have intense prayer. This will also begin to foster an openness in us as we seek to address these things, as we, especially when we look at the preacher. We need this humility when we look at ourselves. But also, when we see our own issues, we will not necessarily fall into the trap of trying to force on somebody else the issues that we have, and we only preach to those particular issues that we have, or we only see others' faults rather than also preaching some build-you-up kinds of things. You know, we must have this balance, and to do that, we must recognize the job is beyond us. We must, in this intense prayer, we will gain some of this humility by God's grace, and we will seek the guidance of God from that particular thing. Now, step one, intense prayer. Now, I do want, before I move on to step two, I do want to recognize that this prayer is not something that you do in the beginning and you forget. No, you do it in the beginning, but you bathe your whole preparation process in prayer. From the beginning all the way through the process, when you put together your plan and you've got your plan, and then you're going to actually put together a sermon based on this plan or a number of sermons, as you're doing that, prayer is involved there, determining what scriptures to use, how the scriptures to use, how to interpret the scriptures. All of these things will require prayer because the job is beyond us. Let's move on to step two. A look at the preacher. We often talk about not ignoring the preacher or just preaching the truth, but it's important to recognize that if we ignore ourselves, too often our prejudices, our pains, our hurts will find themselves in seeping into the sermon. If we got an issue, you always know some preachers got an issue because that's the only thing they preach about. You know, they either preach only about that or they never preach about it. You know, the preacher who has a problem with committing adultery. Sometimes they are some of the hardest preachers on committing adultery, assuming that that is the only issue going on in their congregation. But then again, sometimes they never address that particular issue. If you never look at yourself, if you never look at, you maybe have a problem with lying, you maybe have a problem with other kinds of issues, if you never do that, if you never look at yourself and examine how that affects your preaching, what will happen is these kinds of things will seep into our sermons, and it will not be for the good of the congregation as a whole. The preacher's needs should be addressed. Don't get me wrong. You are a member of that particular congregation, but it is also important to emphasize that it is not only the preacher's needs that should be addressed. I put in here, your failings are not necessarily everyone's failings. You've got a problem with a particular issue, as I just said before. That doesn't necessarily mean that's everybody's problem. You know, that may not be a problem in your particular congregation. It may just be you. Maybe you need to go and do some independent counseling with somebody or something. But the point I'm making is, as you look at yourself, you will begin to see how your issues affect your sermon choice. And it is important for us to be intentional about this sermon planning process by being intentional, enlightened by the Holy Ghost. I have another point here. All of your enemies as a preacher are not standing in the way of God. Sometimes you listen to some preachers and they simply assume that every time somebody has a question with what they are doing, or a question about where they are leading the church, that person is an enemy of God. Maybe, maybe not. It's important for you to at least ask yourself the question with spiritual eyes. Ask the Lord, am I part of the problem? These are some of the issues that we need to address in ourselves before we can begin putting together an effective sermon plan. See where you are and understand where you are, what you're dealing with, what the issues that you are confronting, and then you're able to move to the next level or the next step. Now, I do want to emphasize, and I'm going to this very quickly because I'm hoping to get through the theory in 30 minutes and then do the example in 30 minutes as well, and then maybe have 5 minutes where I go through a few questions. Let's stay on this step two, look at the preacher a little bit longer, and I did write down 5 things that you should not do. You should not assume that your problem is everyone else's problem. I've said that. You should not assume that your enemies are also the enemies of God. I said that. You should not assume that you know where the church needs to go without looking at your own needs, issues, and problems. What am I talking about? If you don't do that, then what you will end up doing is cloud where this planning process will go. You'll push it into a particular location or direction without really recognizing that you may be doing that. You should not use the pulpit like a bully against your enemies. Some of us are bullies in the pulpit. Bullies in the pulpit, taking advantage of others because they can't say anything. And another thing that we should not do is assume that a denominational problem is the problem of your church. Many of us find ourselves in congregations that may be conservative, may have a problem with legalism as a church. That doesn't necessarily, as a denomination, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the problem of your particular congregation. Your particular congregation may have a different issue. Don't make any assumptions before you've done the analysis. Now that was step two, you're going to look at the preacher. Step three is to look at your church. Where is the church right now? What is the story of the congregation in the immediate and more long-term past? Who are the leaders in the church? Who are the lay leaders? Who are your other ministerial colleagues in the church? Are there other leaders who are outside the congregation? Excuse me. Are there leaders outside the congregation who are actually exerting an influence on the congregation? Sometimes it'll be even previous pastors who are exerting a power over the congregation. What would the church, where would the church go more than likely if it were left on its own? What is the trajectory of the church? Where is the church headed at the present time? What kind of preaching was heard in the past? These are some of the questions you want to ask yourself as you do this particular step in the analysis. You want to look at your church. You want to ask, what kind of preaching have they heard? Have they only heard sermons about doing right? Have they only heard sermons about forgiveness? Have they only heard prosperity-type sermons? What kind of preaching have they heard, and what kind of issues were they dealing with? And what kind of senior pastor and other preachers was there before? These are some of the, many of the questions that we need to ask ourselves as we are looking at our churches. We are analyzing this particular church. What kind of preaching did they hear? What kind of pastor was here? Where would the church be headed? So, you've looked at yourself. And now you're looking at the congregation and you're gaining an understanding. As I said before, don't make any assumptions. Don't assume that your church has such and such problem because you've been in another church and that's the problem they had. Don't make any assumptions. Go in there. Ask questions. Seek to find out where the congregation is. I do want to hasten to add and really, the emphasis here is towards a sermon analysis that the senior pastor would do. If you are not the senior pastor, if you're one of the associate ministers, I would say that you definitely would want to talk to the senior pastor before you've engaged in these particular steps. You definitely want to engage the senior pastor, talk to the senior pastor about some of these issues and about whether you should even be the one doing this particular type of analysis if you are not the senior pastor. You definitely do not want to stomp on the senior pastor's toes. But let me move on. That's step three. We only have five steps. As I said before, we're going through these quickly so that I can get to the example. Step four, you want to look at where God is leading this congregation. Look at the vision that God has given you of where this congregation needs to go. Now, I definitely would say that you need to keep in mind everything we said before, which is intense prayer. This is a difficult thing. Some individuals are cavalier. God told me this, or God told me to tell you. That may be true, but we definitely should not be cavalier about it. We should have been in intense prayer. We should have looked at ourselves and verified, asked the Lord to verify that we are not simply doing this out of our own selves. And we've also looked at the church, and now we want to look at the vision of God's future. Now, a good place to look for where God is leading the congregation is within the congregation itself. Look at where God is currently working right now so that you can strengthen those aspects. Too often we come in and we already have a plan when we go to the church. But the church, the congregation, has already got elements of God's work already happening in it. It's important for us to recognize, for us as the resident theologians of the congregation, to recognize that God is already working in that congregation and to strengthen those areas and those places where God is currently working. So that's one thing that we definitely want to address in our plan, is to strengthen the areas where God is already working. Another area that we are going to look in our planning is for deficiencies in the congregation, deficiencies from where God wants this congregation to be, especially when we have light, when we have a vision of where the congregation should be, but we also have a vision of what the church in general should be, what the universal church should be. Are there deficiencies in your congregation where it is not living up to what the church universal should be? And that's the second kind of aspect that we're going to deal with here. You want to reverse some of those deficiencies in your sermon plan. Then you're going to write and compile a sermon strategy worksheet. I would encourage you to download that document that I put up there, because in it there is an example sermon planning worksheet so that you can fill this stuff in by mimicking this kind of thing. So that's step four. Look at the vision that God has given you of where the church should be. Don't just come up with this vision on your own. Don't just, but allow God to show you areas in the congregation where God is already working and God is strengthening them. But also, there definitely are some deficiencies where the church is not standing forth where it should be as a congregation. And there, you want to address deficiencies. So, you've got deficiencies, and you've got areas that should be strengthened because they're areas that are being that God is already working. These are the things that you put together to find the themes that will be addressed in the future. Step five is to take particular steps to that vision of the future that you've actually laid out, and you're going to grab a scripture. You're going to wed a scripture to these themes that you have found out from this particular analysis, and then you are ready to put together a plan, a number of sermons that will address those themes that we have found to be needed in this particular congregation. That is the sermon planning process, and I think, let me see what time it is. It is 11:50, so I got it done in 20 minutes. As I said before, step one, intense prayer. Step two, a look at the preacher. Step three, a look at the church. Look at the church's present. Step four, look at the church's future, the vision given to you by God while looking at the particular congregation. Step five is to take steps into that future. I want to look at an example now. And again, this is the third or fourth time I've told you about this, but you want to download this particular document because this is where I am reading straight from this document. Excuse me. Because we have to do an analysis of a particular congregation, sermon planning is always for a particular congregation. I am going to give a thumbnail sketch of a congregation that we're going to go through a number of these steps for and put together a sermon plan to address this particular congregation. Let me begin reading. For the purposes of this section, I will provide an example of the sermon planning process. This is using a combination of churches. This is a mythical congregation, but I've kind of grabbed from here and there so that no one will know exactly who I'm talking about. Usually this analysis would require an interaction with a few members, but for the purposes of this presentation, I will assume that I've done this because we don't have enough time to do that particular type of analysis. In addition, it's a mythical church, so we can't really do that particular analysis. But what I'm saying is that you would do, you would look at what's going on. Open your eyes and listen to what's going on in the particular congregation. Ask questions about previous leaders and what kinds of sermons have been in this particular congregation in the past. But we're going to assume that we've done that, and I'm going to give you the output of that particular analysis, of that particular process of trying to come up with a thumbnail sketch and understanding of who the congregation is right now. An evangelistic pastor started a church and quickly baptized 200 new members. The evangelistic pastor then left to start another church, the new church, that where the 200 new members had been baptized floundered down to about 60 members. Then a new, young, dynamic pastor came to the church. Within 3 years, the congregation had grown from 60 to 350 members. The church and the pastor were on the move. The pastor's emphasis was on church growth through great music connected to the traditions of the church and great preaching. The church grew in monetary giving as well as in membership, but the services tended to look like a one-man show. The pastor was directing the choir, preaching the service, singing solos in the choir, as well as running the whole show. Soon after the growth of the church, the pastor began a push to construct a building. The pastor ran 3 to 4 evangelistic meetings a year, and the church grew. Soon, the church worked together to get enough money to build a sanctuary. Unfortunately, soon after the church moved into the sanctuary, the pastor left to take other ministry responsibilities. The next pastor came in and did not have the same commitment to music. His preaching was not as dynamic. The attendance dropped from 350 to a little over 100, and the monetary giving dropped 40% in about 6 months. The new pastor, while keeping the ambitious goals of his predecessor, didn't have the charisma or ability to keep up the pace. Soon in the church, some in the church felt as though they had been wronged in losing the pastor. They felt some feelings of disappointment that the previous pastor left them to fend for themselves. Currently, the bleeding has stopped and the church is hovering at about 125 members. Many of these are waiting until the next pastor. Some members are trying things without much institutional support. Like one member is attempting to run a radio program and another was attempting to run local ministries in the community. But the church as a whole seemed to have given in to resignation, not giving up, but waiting for things to change. That is the picture of the congregation at the present time. Now, what are the steps that we're going to follow? Step one, we would definitely do some intense prayer. Step two, we want to look at the preacher, who we are as the preacher. This thumbnail sketch of this particular congregation, you have to just assume it is gospel. But we must recognize that if we are putting together a thumbnail sketch of a congregation, that it will be clouded by our own issues. And I emphasize this over and over again because it's important for us as preachers to recognize what our issues are so that we don't cloud this particular analysis. I mean, if I have an issue, then I may simply assume that everybody else is having that issue and put this in the thumbnail sketch. You know, it may not be the real deal, but I may put it in there. So step two is to look at the church, and step two is to look at the pastor. Step three is to look at the church. Where are we now? What is the story of the congregation, of this congregation? It looks like the church's success is ultimately connected to the pastor. If the pastor is dynamic and strong, the church grows. If the pastor does not have those same gifts, then the church flounders. This church, it seems as though this church is very dependent upon its congregation, upon its pastor. Thus, the church has very little agency, very little self-determination. This church pretty much seems to be a place where they look at the pastor to display her or his ministerial gifts. So, we're going to go to our sermon strategy sheet. That's on page, let's see here. 2, 3, 4. This is on page 5. We go to our sermon strategy sheet and we write down what we found. Where are we now? What is the present look of the church? The previous pastor was a powerful conqueror. I write that down. New pastor seems to be more a maintainer of the way things are. And even worse than that, this is actually being charitable, because actually the church had gone down according to our look at the congregation. The congregation was passive in both instances. They were passive when the previous pastor was conquering, and they were cheering that pastor on, and the congregation was passive when the new pastor came in and floundered. They simply sat back and looked at what the pastor was doing. Congregation was spectators and simply consumers of religious entertainment. Now I want to, the congregation, let me continue on, I'll finish it. The congregation would simply wait for the next pastor. If left to themselves, remember I asked the question, what would the congregation do if left to themselves? This congregation would simply wait for the next pastor, waiting for somebody else to come in and be a powerful conqueror. The congregation doesn't support other ministries unless led by a strong pastor. The congregation is just holding on until another pastor will come to help them relive the past, when they were under a powerful, when they were under a powerful pastor. So that is where they are now. I wrote all of those points into this particular strategy worksheet. Now, where are we going? Where should the congregation go? Now, we need to guide the story of the congregation to where God wants it to be. This is going to be highly connected to our theological framework. Your understanding of God and what God wants and what God's purpose for God's church is, all of that will change. This particular idea of where the church should go and what is this vision that you have of the church. But the first question that I want to ask is, where is God working in this particular congregation? The congregation is largely a passive one that is waiting. However, there are some in the congregation right now who are attempting to do the work of God. As we saw, one individual is working in community GED programs and another has a radio program. Neither is supported by the congregation in their work. Here we see God already working against the prevailing apathetic passivity in the congregation. So what do we do? Here God is telling us what to do, and where to put some emphasis. In this case, it is on the church doing ministry and being ministers rather than being ministered unto. So we need to talk about, here's a theme that comes out of that, responsibilities of membership to include being ministers to each other and the surrounding community, and not just being consumers of religious entertainment and and simply to be ministered unto. Now, hopefully you saw what I did here. What did I do? I looked in the congregation, and I saw a ton of apathy. I saw a ton of passivity. Yet, at the same time, I also saw elements of God already working against that prevailing apathy. God already working against that particular passivity. And so what we are going to do is we are going to aid and help that particular emphasis by addressing those things, which is the responsibility of the membership, being ministers and not just being ministered unto. The nice thing about this particular thing is you already have some illustrations in your congregation. God already working. And some of these may, you definitely want to think pastorally about it, but some of these ideas may end up directly in your sermon. Some of these illustrations of God already at work. So responsibilities of membership, and being members. That's what I got from the first question. What is God, where is God already working? If you're in a church full of legalists and you already see somebody demonstrating the grace of God in the midst of that, that's God already working there. It's God telling us, address this because I am already doing this. Strengthen that particular theme in your particular congregation. I want to move on. Where else is God speaking in this congregation? I think it is interesting that the congregation doesn't just totally give up. Instead, it holds on. The congregation doesn't give up, but it is in a holding pattern. While we definitely have already cast this in terms of passive waiting, there is still something to be said for those who just hold on. A lot of this church has bailed out. When you talk about it, you had 350, now it's down to 160, 120, whatever I said. But there is in that core, they just holding on. A lot of the church has bailed out, but they have held on. And they have not only held on, they have their eyes fixed on a brighter day, a better day. So what are we as preachers to do? Looking at that here, God seems to be telling us to emphasize, strengthen that impulse that is already there. Emphasize the importance of waiting and perseverance. Emphasize the importance of holding on. Those are more things. Waiting, perseverance. We're going to add those things to the responsibilities of membership as well as waiting and perseverance. Now, that's how we looked at where is God already working. Now we want to look at some deficiencies in this particular congregation. First, the congregation needs to understand the role, responsibilities, and purpose of the church. This is really tied into that first responsibilities of membership. Specifically, the church needs to understand ecclesiology, or as that's just a highfalutin name for the doctrine of the church. Here, we need to emphasize the role and importance of the church in our preaching. So we need to talk about the responsibilities and the purpose of the church. We need to push forth a stronger ecclesiology in this particular congregation. Finally, we need to place, and this is in line with the ecclesiology, we need to place Jesus as the head of the church and not any pastor or preacher. Jesus as the head of the church. Pastors and preachers come and go. They're important. They deserve respect. effect. But Jesus is the head of the church. It is important that this congregation specifically understands that issue so that they will stop looking for a human being to save them. Excuse me. So, let's write the following sermon goals into our spreadsheet that we talked about. What did we talk about? What are some of the goals that we did in this analysis? And hopefully you're understanding what I mean by this analysis, but this is really just a small analysis. You would do more of this and more in depth, but here I wanted to give an example. So what are the goals that have come out of here? What are some of the themes that we need to address in with sermons to this particular congregation? First, we need to emphasize that the church is a congregation of ministers, the priesthood of all believers. We need to emphasize that particular thing. We need to emphasize ecclesiology in this particular church. What's another thing? We need to emphasize the importance of perseverance, holding on. What did I say when I looked at this congregation? I saw that they are holding on, and here we're just basically emphasizing and strengthening that impulse in this particular congregation. Next, we want to emphasize the difference between passive and active perseverance. You see, there is a passive perseverance that simply allows things to happen and waits for things to be better, and an active perseverance where you able to hold on as you do the work of God, as you seek to make this church a better church, as you seek to become a more to look more like the image of Jesus Christ. There is a difference between passive and active perseverance. We want to address these particular themes. I just want to emphasize that these themes came to me as I was going through this particular process. Emphasize the importance and role of the church. That's what I'm talking about, the ecclesiology. Emphasize Jesus as the head of the church and not any other person. That's step four. We got a lot of preaching that we can do now. We got a lot of preaching that's come to us as we seek to emphasize, as these things come to us. Now we're ready to preach. We don't have to come up with, well, now we're ready to put together our sermon plan. Sorry. One of the biggest issues we have, especially when we're talking about putting together Saturday night specials, one of the biggest problems that we have is we don't know what to preach. Once we get that core idea, a lot of times we're off to the races. And so I think that it is important for us to come up with themes, determine themes that need to be addressed in our congregation, and then we want to put together a sermon plan that addresses those things. Now, how do we do that? Well, an example, I give an example in this on the last page of that handout. You want to go to the website. Go to the website you're listening to right now. Click the button and then come over, and then you'll be able to get the, this particular handout. And here, I give an example of a sermon planning worksheet, which is the last step. So step two, where are they now, is on the preaching strategy worksheet. Step three is on that worksheet as well. And then step four is the sermon planning. Now we're ready for the sermon planning worksheet. Now, here I've got a tentative title, I've got a text, I've got notes, and I've got sermon goals. These goals are directly related to the sermon goals. Where are they going? That was, pardon me, That was step four. What is the church's future? These are the sermon goals that came out from that particular analysis. Now you're going to go grab a few of these and look for texts that will address those particular themes. Now, I do want to emphasize that once you take a text, the text gets in the driver's seat. So if you pick the wrong text and it doesn't address your theme, you got two options. You either give up the text, find a different text, or you're going to have to preach the things that the text wants you to preach. But oftentimes we can really address these. And so during your sermon planning time, which is different from your sermon construction time, but your sermon planning time, you're going to look at these things. You're going to put these down as sermon goals. You're going to find the text, and you're going to give a tentative title. Here's an example of one that I gave. I'm going, but you are ready. What are some of the sermon goals that I would address in this particular sermon? One is to promote the mission, promote mission as the goal of the church, promote congregational connection to the larger story of the denomination and or the Christian church in general. I look at Acts 1, 6 to 9, and I'm going to address those particular themes. I put down a note here because you want to put down a note to remind you what you were talking about and thinking about at the time. Jesus left the disciples with a prophecy of their overcoming. Here we are connected to that mission that God will bring to pass. We are connected to that mission. It may look difficult here now. It may look problematic here now, but we are connected to the mission that Jesus gave us. That's one sermon. I'm going, but you are ready. I'm going to the next one. How do you build a church? What is the goal of this one? Once again, I go to my sermon worksheet and I look for a sermon goal. I find the text that I can address it. And the goal I got here was promote a larger view of the church than just being a spectator or consumer of religious entertainment. With a note, the church is a place that God turns into a dwelling place of God. We are joined to it. We continue to build on it as the prophets, apostles, and Jesus did. We build on it. Ephesians 2, 19-20, we build on it. We don't wait for somebody else to do it. No, we build on it. That's one. That's another sermon. What I did, I'm emphasizing it again. I go back to the sermon goals. I see which sermon goals I want to address. I go look for a scripture that will allow me to address that particular goal. And I got some goals here. Promote Jesus as the head of the church for this particular sermon. Promote healing as a possibility even for this church, and promote active perseverance in the church. Huh. What am I talking about? I went to Matthew 9, 20 and 22. The title, If I Can Touch His Clothes. These are all tentative, as I said before. But if I can touch his clothes, the woman in the story was in a sick situation. She took action into her hands and moved forward to touch Jesus. She didn't just sit back and wait. No, she went out to touch Jesus. The congregation is invited in this sermon to do the same thing. Stop your passive waiting. No, we need an active perseverance. We need a perseverance that will allow us to have the audacity to even touch out and reach out and touch Jesus. The congregation is invited to do the same thing that this woman did. Break out and reach for help from Jesus. Active perseverance. Healing as a possibility for this church, and Jesus as the head of this church. If I can but touch his clothes. Finally, I got another sermon that I, and really we could go on forever, going to different texts, looking for these particular themes. We could go on forever, but here's another one. After the Dead End is my tentative title. Narrative, the goals of this particular presentation, promote the possibility of a resurrection of the church out of its current malaise. Again, promote God as the one to ultimately place our trust and not humanity. Luke 12, 11 and 12 was the scripture that I looked at, and here are some of the notes that I got there. The Holy Spirit guides and leads even the tongue of the church when the church is in a tight spot. Here, the person is in a situation where the story is at a dead end. The person is brought to a situation where he does not know what to do, but Jesus tells us not to worry about what will happen when we reach the dead end. The Holy Spirit will meet us at the dead end with the answer to the predicament. That's another sermon. Now, what do I have here? These aren't sermons. This is a sermon plan. So when it is time to preach, I can go to my sermon plan, and it's Monday morning, and I want to begin my sermon preparation process. I already have a tentative title. I already have some goals, things I need to address in this particular sermon. I already have a tentative text, and I already have some notes about that particular text. I still have to do my full exegesis. I still have to do my four waves of biblical exegesis, as we're going to talk about tomorrow. I still have to do all of that, but now I am already well down the road. I know what I need to preach. I know that the people need to hear this. All of these pieces come together when you put together a sermon plan. And so I want to, that was our example, and it looks as though we got a few more minutes. That what I want to do is go to a few questions. I want to go to a few questions. And if you have any other questions, you can go ahead and punch them in. We will probably have a question and answer period. I mean, I can't answer all the questions right now, but we will answer many of these questions that we cannot get to. We will answer them at a later date. So go ahead and punch in your questions. I have four questions here that were sent in before we started. And so I want to address these questions before we bring this presentation to a close. The first question is from Bowling Green, Kentucky. The question is, what are the major things to look for when considering preaching a series of sermons from a book or letter of the Bible? This is really a good question. I would say that the first thing you need to do before preaching a series of sermons is to go through this sermon planning process to determine what are the themes that need to be addressed in your congregation. When you have those themes that need to be addressed in your congregation, it is going to help you to find the proper book to do your series of sermons for this particular congregation, or letter of the Bible or whatever. It's going to give you the correct book or letter, whatever you want to call it, when you do this analysis first. Next question is from Austin, Texas. We always want to be spirit-led in our sermon selection and preparation. Does long-range sermon planning take away from that in that we are deciding what to preach? It could, but, you know, that could happen when you preach it every week, too. It is my contention that it is much less likely to happen when you do this full analysis and you take a step back. So yes, it can happen. You know, we can decide what we're going to preach and not allow the Spirit in. But remember, step one is to engage in intense prayer, and we allow that prayer to go all the way through the process. So I would argue, first of all, that long-range sermon planning can cause you to not be spirit-led in your sermon presentation. You may just do it on your own, but I would argue that that could be a problem with any kind of preaching, any kind of sermon preparation model. The thing about sermon planning, especially as I have talked about it here, is that it allows you to see who you are, see what is needed, and ask the Lord to help you to address what is needed in your particular congregation. Hopefully that helps. If not, I would encourage you to ask a follow-up question that we'll get to in the future. Next question is from Winder. I'm not sure where, but Winder. Exactly. Excuse me. This was a question we got before the seminar began. Exactly. What do you mean by sermon planning? Are you speaking of preparing sermons for future use or preparing what you would preach each week at your own discretion? I ask this question because sometimes preachers preach what they desire to preach, and the Spirit of Christ is not in the sermon because it was directly by the flesh and not the Spirit. I have seen that often in ministry. Yes, that is the case. Sermon planning can engage in that. You can do this without doing, without asking the Lord to guide you. Yes, that can happen. The point, and that is a problem. It's a problem in much preaching today that isn't planned. And it's a problem probably in some sermon planning. The point that I wish to make, however, is that sermon planning does not construct sermons for future use, but constructs a plan that will guide us in preparing the sermon. Let me tell you what I mean. Let's go back to the sermon planning worksheet. And here I got notes and I got sermon goals. You may have thought that these were sermons as I began filling in the lines, but they are not sermons. They are pieces of a sermon plan. You still got to exegete the text. You still got to see if these themes are actually addressed by that particular scripture. You still got to construct your sermon. You still got to do all of that. So this is not preparing a sermon for future use. It is preparing a direction for future sermons. Hopefully that was helpful to you. I definitely agree that if the Spirit of Christ is not in it, it doesn't matter what kind of methodology you use, it will be a sermon that is not Spirit-infused or infused by the Holy Ghost. The last question that I want to deal with today is from Grenada. Someone asks, what if you plan your sermon and something happens within your congregation, sudden death or illness, arrest, tornado, that affect a member, and the sermon may not be the one to preach, or is there a time when you shouldn't preach a prepared sermon? Now, this really is talking about a little different than sermon planning. Here, we are talking about you put together an effective sermon, and things have changed. Is there a moment when we should change our sermon? Yes. Yes. Sometimes things have changed to the point where it should be, you must preach a different sermon. You know, we must be open to what the Spirit is leading and guiding us. Even if you go through and you put together this effective sermon plan, sometimes you are going to deviate from this plan. The important point that I'm making when we put together a sermon plan is that we are addressing the deep needs. You know, sometimes when we are at work, we talk about putting out fires. You know, there's different kinds of work that you have to do. There's work that is urgent, and then there's work that is important but not as urgent. If you never get to the stuff that is important but not as urgent, sometimes the urgent overthrows and we never get to the important. Sometimes we're doing important, unimportant stuff that's urgent. It's not important, but it's urgent. You know, it's got to be done. If it's going to be done, it's got to be done tomorrow. It's just not as important as this other thing. And sometimes we can often push back some of these important themes that need to be addressed in our congregation. Sermon planning is going to help us to address many of these particular themes. I want to thank you all for attending this particular seminar. We have, it's a blessing to be able to do this. Tomorrow we're going to move forward into the exegetical process as we're going to talk about the four ways of biblical exegesis, how to interpret the Bible with power for preaching. Yesterday we talked about four dimensions of preaching. Today we're talking about sermon planning. Let me know if these have been helpful to you. Let me know if this is a good time to even do these particular seminars. I'm trying to find a good time that's going to be a blessing and helpful to as many people as possible. And if you have any questions, you can always contact me through soulpreaching.com, the contact link there, or you can write a question in on this page. But I definitely want to thank you for attending. It's been a blessing. Continue holding forth in God, preaching God's gospel to the people. As I say so often, it's important for us as preachers to keep God's vision of the future kingdom in our minds and on the minds of the people. Till next time, this is Sherman Haywood Cox II. God bless you and keep on preaching.